So I've got the first slide, yes. So before I start, I'd just like to pray, really. Let's just pray for a second. Lord, I thank you that you are here tonight with us. Lord, I pray you speak to each one of us, that you open our hearts, that the words that I speak are not just of me and they're not empty words. Lord, I just pray that you speak powerfully and use me to say what you want to speak to each one of us tonight. Make us open and receptive and courageous and brave to listen to what you want us to hear tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So we are carrying on in our series, looking through the New Testament. I'm loving it. I'm loving the challenge of making sure I read my verses each morning, make sure I don't forget and not have to catch up loads of them by the end of the week. And I love it being in the prayer diary. That was a fantastic decision by Kath, I think, to put it in the prayer diary. So each day I look at my prayer diary, look at what the verse is, and I can pray and read the verse at the same time. I think it's fantastic. So we're now approaching the end of Mark. In fact, today is the last chapter of Mark in our series. And tonight we're going to be talking about rolling stones. Now, some of you might be expecting a story about the Rolling Stones. A picture here. As Louise said, it's Keith Richards, Mick Jagger, probably the most well-known one, Ronnie Wood, and Charlie Watts, who sadly passed away in August 2021. You might not have heard of them in a while. That's because they've been going a bit downhill recently. Sorry. The penny dropped eventually. Okay. So we're not talking about these Rolling Stones or a band or Take That or anybody like that. We're talking about this kind of Rolling Stone. This is a picture of a tomb with a round stone in front of it. Now, in our calendar, the kind of the church calendar, Easter, it's not Easter yet, but today we are actually talking about the Easter story, about the resurrection of Jesus. And some people would say this is the greatest day in history. In fact, there's a song about this being the greatest day in history, that Jesus being alive. So let's open up our Bibles or our devices or whatever it might be, because I've only got a few verses, but you may want to check what I'm saying and cross-reference in other parts of your Bible. So I'd encourage you to be ready to listen and to check what I'm about to say. We're starting in Mark 16, verse 1. And just a little bit of background. So, as I said, we're in the last chapter of Mark. And if you've been doing your readings over the last few days, we'll know that Jesus has been arrested. He's faced a corrupt trial. He's been crucified, and his body has been in the tomb for 2 days. And it's now the third day. So, starting Mark 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus." Have I gone to the right? Yeah, sorry, only next slide. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Before we go on and explore this, I want to kind of refer back to what something Heather said last week. You see, Heather was talking about the promises to come and asking, are we ready? See, the disciples, they'd forgotten Jesus' words already. He told them he was going to rise again on the third day. And here these three ladies were going to the tomb, not expecting to find him risen, but expecting to find a body to anoint. Even the disciples had forgotten or hadn't really clicked that this was going to happen. The challenge to us, let us not forget his promises. There's plenty of promises that, as Heather reminded us last week, that Jesus has given us. He is coming back. As he rose again and ascended, he is coming back. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. He has not forgotten us, and he's promised to be with us until the end of the age. So that's just a real precursor, really, to kind of the main thrust of what I want to say. Let's not forget. Let's not be like the disciples who had just been told by Jesus a few days before, I'm going to rise again, and they'd forgotten all about that. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe. Let's believe what God has said to us in his word. Sorry, I got carried away there. So I haven't got three. Normally, I have a three-point sermon where, you know, sometimes I've got 3 points at the beginning of the letter W or R or whatever it might be. Tonight, I'm doing something a bit different. I've only got one major point, and that comes at the very end. But I've got three questions. Three questions. Why did the three women go to the tomb? That's where our story starts. So the three ladies involved are Mary Magdalene. She'd been there at the crucifixion. And she was the one that Jesus had cleansed of 7 demons. And then there was Mary, mother of the disciple James the Lesser, or James the Younger. And then there was Salome, who's believed to be the wife of Zebedee, the mother of James and John. Not to be confused with Salome, the one who asked Herod for the head of John the Baptist, a very different person. So they had gone to visit the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. Now, some people believe this was because even though his body had been prepared and wrapped and put in the tomb on Good Friday, it had been a bit of a rush because it was getting dark and the Sabbath was approaching. So they're not at the time to anoint the body. A little bit of a rush. These three ladies, they'd been with Jesus, they'd followed him around everywhere. They'd seen the miracles that he performed. They were absolutely and utterly devoted to him. And yet they'd seen him be cruelly taken away, beaten, crucified. Yet even in death, they were determined to go and see him and to anoint his body. On a day like today, I look back to certain things. It's Mother's Day, so I've got to deal with an issue. My mom passed away in October. I'd been in the hospice with her for 3 days almost, with very few breaks. And on the time I actually, on the Saturday evening, I recall, I went home. I was exhausted. I was told I needed to go home, get some rest, have a bath, because I think I was smelling a little bit, and get some food. So I went home, and it was during that time away that my mom passed away. Right in the middle of the, I have to keep remembering this, in the middle of the Liverpool v Leeds game, where Leeds won at Anfield for the first time in 20-odd years. So it's a memorable moment for me, a very sad moment. Yet right in the middle of all that, in my middle of my grief, even though I was at home, I still wanted to go and say goodbye to my mum, give my last regards to her. And that was the same for these three ladies. They were grieving. They'd lost their Messiah. But they were still devoted to it. They still wanted to go and see where his body had been put. They still wanted to worship him and to anoint his body. And they weren't afraid. They weren't thinking about whether there's going to be Roman guards or anything there to stop them. They all had one thought, was to see Jesus, to go and see his body. That was their only thought. The disciples, meanwhile, where were they? So at this point, there are only 11 disciples, because Judas has hung himself. So there's 11 disciples remaining. And it appears that they, from all the Gospels, that they were hiding in the upper room. They were afraid of being arrested. They'd all scattered when Jesus had been arrested. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. So they were in this upper room, locked behind the door. They'd really created their own tomb, their own stone in front of them. Maybe they were afraid of the guards. Maybe they were ashamed that they'd run away and denied him. They'd followed him everywhere, seen him perform miracles. They'd seen him arrested, beaten, and crucified. They're probably at the end of their tether. The whole world had collapsed. This is the one who was going to save the world. He was going to be the one to change everything, to change everything, and he'd gone. Their world had probably collapsed. They were in a lot of pain, probably, as some of us might be today with it being Mother's Day, missing someone. And they'd had experienced extreme betrayal. One of their 12, one of their number, had betrayed their Jesus. He'd betrayed Jesus. And interestingly enough, Peter, the leader of the disciples, even given that name by Jesus, it means rock. It means rock. It means a big stone. And in fact, maybe at that point, the stone that he needed rolling away was something he'd put there himself. He was hiding away, afraid to move forward. He was stuck and unable to see where he was going. My third question. Now, how did the women plan to open this tomb? This is a big, you know, when you read through scripture, you always have kind of weird questions. How did they expect to open this tomb? In fact, why were they up so early? Some people say that Easter Sunday was round about April the 3rd. So it says they rose before dawn. It would have been about 6:23 a.m., people estimate. So they were up very, very early. I don't know where they bought the spices from at that time in the morning, but obviously they did. But on the way to the tomb, they realize there's this big stone in the way. How were they going to get the stone out of the way? Where was the plan? See, I work in IT, in project management, and if you're going to do something, deliver something, or change something, you need the resources or the tools to do it. I remember going to my son, Matt, lives in Manchester, and we went to see him last November, and he gave me a few DIY jobs to do. He's learning about DIY. So we went to his house, and he asked me to kind of fix this curtain pole. This curtain pole was falling down, the curtains everywhere. So I said, okay, where's your toolbox, your screwdrivers? So he brought this, gave me this little box, and it's these tiny little screwdrivers. I had to put these massive big screws in, and he had these tiny little screwdrivers. I said, what am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with that? So you need the right tools for the job. So as soon as we went home, first present for Christmas for Matthew, big box of screwdrivers. Job done. So the tomb would have been sealed. Tomb would have been sealed because, and the stone itself would have been quite heavy. They seal it to stop animals getting in. And look, did a bit of research, and depending on the type of stone that was used, it would weigh between 1 to 2 tons. Quite heavy. Few men could move it into place. But the most difficult task would be removing the stone. Because usually if it was a round stone, it would be set into, in this picture here, you'll see a picture of the round stone and the tomb with it open. It would have been rolled into place, into like a groove and behind a wall. So to try and move it out of the way would have been very, very difficult for a few men, especially for these three women. In fact, some scholars don't even think the stone was round. Some people believe it was like a cone shape, and it was kind of just pushed into place, even more difficult to get out of the way. The women wouldn't have been able to roll this away without any help. So this is where I think it comes to my major point for tonight. As I've been preparing this, I always pray, God, what do you want me to say to people tonight? What's on your heart for people tonight? It's not just about words and the Bible and the scriptures. It's what does God want to say to us here individually as people? And I believe some of us tonight have got our own stones blocking the way. Some of us have got a situation in our lives where we can't see a way forward. There seems to be a big stone that we can't move out of the way. Or maybe we're like the three women heading for the tomb. They're seeking Jesus with everything they've got. But they, as they get there, you're thinking, how are we going to reach him? How are we going to get through into the tomb? He seems distant, far away, blocked away. How can we roll the stone away and get closer to him? Maybe we've put a stone there ourselves, like Peter. Maybe we've done something we're ashamed of, or we've just hidden ourselves away from the grace that God wants to give us. Afraid of what others might say or do if we do the thing that he wants us to do. And it's easier sometimes to stay behind that locked door and not let anybody in and not let God in. The three women, Mary, Mary, and Salome, they were all afraid. And it says in our scripture that they said nothing. They were afraid. But this was temporary. As we read in the other scriptures, in other gospels, we know they overcame their fear. They went out and told everyone that they'd seen Jesus, that he had risen. They weren't afraid for very long. Some of us have got some stones in our way that we don't know how to move them. Something stopping us moving forward, some thinking in our life, some plans we've got. I mean, I can't do that. I can't move that stone out of the way. And the second kind of point to add on to this, I think, is that when I was preparing, I think God wants us to remember those people in our hearts, our friends and family, who also need the stone rolling away, who don't know him, who are far from him, can't see him, don't believe he's risen, don't even believe that God even exists. I believe for us tonight, God wants to challenge us and to pray and pray and pray for those stones to be rolled away from those people that we know and that we love. If we read on in this chapter, I've only read verses 1 to 8, because it says in your Bible's probably the same as mine, that the early manuscripts didn't have the verses 9 to 19. But if you read further on, and in all the other Gospels, we get to the Great Commission. We get to the Great Commission where Jesus tells us to preach the gospel to all creation. We all know people who cannot see him, who can't see that Jesus is risen. Maybe tonight is a night for us to pray for those stones to move and people's eyes to be opened. I believe he wants to change some things in our hearts tonight, to give us confidence and courage and bravery to step forward and believe that he will actually move those stones out of our way. He's big enough, he's strong enough, he's got an army of angels. He only had one here. He only needs one. to move that stone out of our way. I'm going to ask the band to come back if that's okay, please. If we actually look at the Gospels, he didn't need to move the stone out of the way, because we have lots of accounts where Jesus just appeared to the disciples. He went through walls and doors. He'd actually just appeared. He didn't need to move the stone out of the way, but he moved, or God or the angels moved the stone out of the way so that the women would know, and so that we would know that he has overcome death. He's no longer in the tomb, that he's risen. And if he is able to overcome death, if he's able to rise again, he's more than able to roll away whatever might be facing any of us here tonight. I want to take a step in faith and say I believe that God wants us to touch some people's hearts tonight and to roll some stones away. I may be completely off the wall and completely wrong, but I believe he does. So we're gonna worship, but I'm gonna pray. And I'm gonna ask you if what I've said has spoken to you at all, if what I've said has spoken to you in any way. There's two ways you can do this. One is to put your hand up and ask people around you to pray, or more, I would like people, if you really, really want God to meet with you and to roll some stones away, I believe he says, well, you can just come forward and I'll pray with you, or Louise or someone will come and pray with you. Because I really believe he wants to do something in people's hearts tonight. He wants to take away those blockages that are stopping us, that are keeping us locked away and from actually seeing Jesus and actually being the person that he wants us to be. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to hand over to the band, and I'm going to come and stand over here. I'm not going to join the band just yet. So if anybody wants to respond to that, if what I've said has touched your heart and, yeah, that's for me, I need some stones rolling away, please just come down here or ask someone to pray with you. That's fine. We will sort that out if need be. So I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're speaking to us. You speak to us differently because we're all different. We're all in different situations. And what's right for one is different for another. And Lord, I just pray that you'll give us honesty tonight. Let's be honest with you about where we're at. Lord, we thank you that you are risen again. Lord, that you changed history. You changed history when you rolled away that stone and rose again. And we are forever grateful and ever in debt to you for what you have done. And Lord, I know that some of us, we have struggles in our lives. We have the mountains and we have the valleys. And Lord, sometimes when we're in the valleys, it's hard to see a way forward. And Lord, I just pray tonight that those of us who feel like we've got a stone in the way, that Lord, you will come and roll those stones away. That you'll give us bravery to ask you to come and move in our lives in whatever way that might be. Let us be open to you, and Lord, Holy Spirit, will you just come and move in this place? Will you come and touch hearts? Will you come and encourage and challenge and give belief and faith where it's not currently existing? In Jesus' name, amen.